Hello everyone, I'm Lynn Joffe, but you can call me Auntie Lulla. I'm an author and storyteller and musician, and I'm excited to share with you my solid gold storytime pep talk entitled Once Upon a Podcast, the heard word in the development of literacy and love of literature in very young children. It is my experience and my conviction that the lifelong love of reading is presaged, stimulated, enhanced and vitalized by the act of hearing audio stories as very small children, narrated by mum, performed by dad, on the radio or a record, in rhythm, in rhyme, in verse and in song, in the language of your culture and the music of your soul. Theatre of the mind in glorious oral technicolor. I call it the power of the heard word, and it all starts even before you're born. I acquired my taste for story songs as I exited the womb. My mother sang to me in and out of utero. I could sing before I could speak, recite before I could read, tell stories before I could write. As a result, with a combination of nature and nurture, I've been a storyteller all my life. Or, should I say, a storyteller has become me. Join me on this oral journey and we'll experience the effect of musical storytelling for ourselves. So, take a deep breath and take yourself back to a more innocent time and reimagine your first nursery rhyme, song, fairy tale, bedtime story, the imaginary worlds that hearing stories gave you and the echoes of the ghosts in your own human machine. Witness the songs and rhymes that we heard first before we could decipher a cipher. Those melodies and repetitions each one of us can recall from our childhood. Once upon a record player, we kiddies loved to listen to our favorite tales and sing along to the songs that went with them over and over again. The radio was our audio spaceship in tweeny years. Bowie could also sing a compelling story. After 7 singles, then albums, on which I spent all my pocket money, came the advent of the cassette player, the mixtape, the 8-track, the Walkman. Then, the digital transition to CDs, iPods, downloads, and now, the streaming age gives us access to audio on a whole new level, especially for parents and caregivers who are hungry for quality, theatre-of-the-mind literacy boosters for their young charges. The love of stories is vitally enhanced by hearing the stories spoken out loud. Witness the songs that everyone can recall from their childhood, almost verbatim. Repetition is the key to retention, and via music and songs, children's imagination can be stimulated, encouraging them to read more, sing more, remember more. Many studies have proven that reading to a child in the womb stimulates brain development and encourages learning. Piaget says babies copy the sounds and actions of people and animals in their environment. During Piaget's pre-operational stage, from the ages of 2 to 7, children are not yet able to think logically, which may explain why stories that we enjoy at this age can be magical, illogical, impossible. Talking animals, flying children, magic words are all completely believable. With the acquisition of language, the child is able to represent his world through mental images and symbols. They love onomatopoeia and use it long before they know the words as such. Preschoolers also take metaphors and figurative expressions literally, which is why some of the most memorable and long-lasting children's stories ever written continue to captivate. Alice in Wonderland, Peter Pan, Winnie the Pooh, Beatrix Potter, all embody this pre-operational age and stage and remain reflections of our childish state of mind to which we can return again and again. According to Oliver Sacks, in his book Musicophilia, at 6 months, human infants can readily detect all rhythmic variations, but by 12 months, their range is narrowed, albeit sharpened. They can now more easily detect the types of rhythms to which they have previously been exposed. They learn and internalize a set of rhythms for their culture. These rhythms then form the building blocks of their linguistic and literate lives, their fusion of music, sound and word, and their creative and imaginative toolbox of memory and imagination. Oliver Sacks says that there are 2 basic kinds of memory. Episodic memory depends on the perception of particular and often unique events, and one's memories of such events. One's original perception of them are not only highly individually coloured by one's interests, concerns and values, but prone to be revised or recategorised every time they are recalled. This is in fundamental contrast to procedural memory, where it is all important that the remembering be literal, exact and reproducible. Repetition and rehearsal, timing and sequence are of the essence here. Rudolfo Linhas, the neurophysiologist, uses the term fixed action patterns, FAPs, for such procedural memories. Some of these may be present even before birth. Fetal horses, for example, may gallop in the womb. Much of the early motor development of the child depends on learning and refining procedures through play, imitation, trial and error, and incessant rehearsal. All of these start to develop long before the child can call on any explicit or episodic memories. No wonder, then, that rhythm and music have the ability to draw in the small child, teach him or her about its structure and secrets, whether he's listening consciously or not. This is so even if one has never heard a piece of music before. Listening to music is not a passive process, but intensely active, involving a stream of inferences, hypotheses, expectations, and anticipations, as David Huron and others have explored. We can grasp a new piece, how it is constructed, where it is going, and what will come next, with such accuracy that even after a few bars, we may be able to hum or sing along with it. It is said that there are actually four phases of the development of sound recording, each era giving us better quality, easier access, and all the nostalgia we can lay our ears on. The acoustic era, 1877 to 1925, consisting entirely of mechanical devices, the phonautograph, the phonograph, the radio, and let's not forget the telephone. Radio started experimentally around 1905 and shot to public awareness after the sinking of the Titanic in 1912. Radio became commercially available around 1920, and nothing's ever been the same. The electrical era, 1925 to 1945. The golden age of radio, the record, the dynamic microphone, and the dynamic loudspeaker came into their own, coupled with the development of sound on film. No mean feat. The magnetic era, 1945 to 1975. The invention of magnetic tape, multitracks, the perfection of high fidelity in recorded sound, the rise and rise of television. The digital era, from around 1975. Everything that went before superseded by digital sound recording. The CD, the DAT, the iPod, the .wav, requiring computer links and of rapid sound encoding, allowing all sorts of digital platforms to emerge. I think we can add to this a fifth phase, the streaming era. Content on demand, the pull factor rather than the push factor. Before, we needed physical objects, cassettes, CDs, 4-tracks, 8-tracks, Walkman, iPods, stiffies, and now it's all in the cloud. The streaming era, giving us access to the entire universe of sound, songs, stories, the soundtracks of our lives. Who knew we'd ever have this variety of choice? Without so much as a memory stick. The earliest recording of the human voice was allegedly made in August 1877. For more than a century, history has recorded that on this day, when, speaking onto a tinfoil sheet phonograph speaker, Thomas Alva Edison spoke the first recorded words ever heard, a little piece of practical poetry.
Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Was it philosophy? Perhaps. Was it poetry? Possibly. Was it storytelling? Without question. For the first time in history, sound could be preserved over time and not just listened to in the moment. But hark! In March 2008, a new recording turned up that predates Edison's phonograph version by 17 years. It was made on April 9, 1860, on what was called a phone autograph. This time in song. Of a woman, or a man, you can play it on two different speeds, singing a French children's folk song. So the true forefather of recorded sound is a little-known Frenchman named Édouard Léon Scott de Martinville, who transcribed sound waves as undulations traced on smoke-blackened paper or glass. What you've just heard has been buried in the mists of time for 150 years. Whoever the original inventor was, though, the rise and rise of the record player couldn't have made its way into my childish hands and ears at a better time. For over 50 years, fully two generations of kids raised in the Western world in the middle of the 20th century, the record player was to be our musical and storytelling device of choice.
This is the BBC Home Service for mothers and children at home.
Listen with Mother was a daily radio program that flighted between 1950 and 1982 at 1:45 p.m., just before Women's Hour. Consisting of stories, songs and nursery rhymes for children under five, at its peak had an audience of over 1 million listeners.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
By the time I was a toddler in the very early 60s, children's programming had been incorporated into that black and white moving screen, the television, and Listen with Mother had become Watch with Mother. Making the transition to visuals and puppetry, but nevertheless employing the theatre of the mind techniques by breaking the fourth wall and addressing the audience directly. There was Andy Pandy on Tuesdays, Bill and Ben the Flowerpot Men on Wednesdays, the Wooden Tops on Fridays, all transmitted live. I defy even the most avid fan to remember a shard of plot or a word of quote from any of the plethora of offerings. But you'll recognise the songs and theme tunes. In those days, the BBC maintained such high standards that they refused to record anything by Enid Blyton. Classical music had its place in the programming. Tales of the Riverbank, the first Canadian production to make its way onto BBC's children's programming, employed live anthropomorphic animals with a guitar track based on Andante in C by Mario Giuliani. Inevitably, television knocked radio and the record player off its perch, and America invaded with its Barney Muppets, Sesame Streets, Mr. Men, Mr. Ben, Ben 10, Teletubbies, most of which will never stand up to the scrutiny of sound alone. And of course, growing up and going to the cinema exposed us to the living colour that our records had hinted at. And, given the so-called rise and rise of human consciousness, I wonder what impact this has on our own indigenous Abafana and Abantwana, preschool and foundation phase boys and girls of this great land, they whose mommies and daddies don't read to them, can't read to them. What about their literacy skills? What about their head start to education? It is interesting to bear in mind that in many ancient cultural traditions, storytelling is synonymous with song, chant, music, or epic poetry, especially in the bardic traditions. Stories may be chanted or sung along with musical accompaniment on a certain instrument. Therefore, some who would be called folk musicians by foreign music enthusiasts are just as accurately called storytellers. Their true roles are more profound, as their names reflect: bards, ashiks, jiaru, griots, amongst many more. Their roles, in fact, are often as much spiritual teachers and exemplars or healers, for which the stories and music are vehicles, as well as historians and tradition-bearers. Oral African storytelling is essentially a communal participatory experience. Everyone in most traditional African societies participate in formal and informal storytelling as interactive oral performance. This participation is an essential part of traditional African communal life, and basic training in a particular culture's oral arts and skills is an essential part of children's traditional indigenous education on their way to initiation into full humanness. Could we then bring together the African communal love and lore of storytelling with the medium that can deliver this oral tradition to all? In 2021, Pearls found that 81% of grade 4 children in South Africa cannot read for meaning. This is a serious problem, as it has implications for children's academic achievement, employment prospects, and overall well-being. Some of these reasons include poor quality of education, with limited or lacking resources, home environment, where kids grow up in homes where there is little reading or literacy support, language barriers. Most South African children speak a home language other than English. This can make it difficult for them to learn to read either English or their mother tongue. However, one of the most overlooked reasons why South African children are struggling to read is that they're just not interested in the books that do not capture their imaginations. As a result, young South African children are not motivated to read, and the more children do not read, the less they will be able to read. This is why I feel so passionate about giving all South African children access to audio stories in English and in their indigenous languages, on their turf, at their fingertips. If only we could give the whole world free Wi-Fi. I'd love all South Africans, parents, teachers, caregivers and children to be able to tune in as well as relate their own stories. And we're getting there. One podcast at a time. The record player put the power of choice into childish hands. Radio gave us theatre of the mind and a sense of community. TV made us passive, but supplied the pictures to fire our imaginations. Cinema gave us the glitter and gloss. And all of this is now available for today's children in discerning parents' hands as they can look to this new-fangled machine, the internet, for their children's entertainment. And now that we have the internet, some say we're at the dawn of a revolution as important as the invention of the phonograph, say, or the phonautograph. It is a tool, a portal to the amazing, magical world of the imagination, the stories, the songs, the rhythms of this past and future culture. We are as primitives again in the myriads of possibilities that is this vast, sentient ocean of information and imagination. But remember, there is no dominant medium, so to speak. Each one can act and interact, and how much a child is exposed or exploits this is ultimately up to parents, teachers, and caregivers to mix and match the media to suit their child. Sound and rhythm, song and instrumentation merge and part at the whim of the story. The most important interface is still in the mind of your recipient. If we use it wisely and with discernment, the streaming age can be the most revolutionary epoch for us to use, in the present, for the future, and for the past, to integrate into our interactive storytelling experiences. Reaching back to our recordings and audio memories of infancy, literally remembering. Podcasts do it. YouTube does it. There is a plethora of platforms for you to use wisely and expose young children to resonant storytelling, songs and tales for their development. I believe, if adequately stimulated and reinforced, listening and the heard word leads to the enhancement of intelligence, cognizance, imagination, and the L word, literacy. If you like this little talk, ask your grown-up to explore the other exciting stories, nursery rhymes and story songs on Solid Gold Storytime, a unique podcast to delight and soothe very young children while stimulating their love of stories and literacy potential. Find us wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll all live and read happily ever after.